Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Welcome to Point of View. Now, you may remember that yesterday we had a conversation with the Portfolio Committee Chair of in Gauteng of Health and Wellness. And we were doing this because they had done a site visit to Tembisa Hospital on the back of a fire that broke out earlier on this month. And they were giving us an update and they were scheduled to go back. And in fact, there was a report that was scheduled to be presented to them after a month. However, another fire has broken out to all our shock and horror. The Deputy Minister of Health is on the line with us, Joe Patla. Deputy Minister, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Evening, Nilo, and also evening to your listeners of Kaya FM.
We were all shocked, Deputy Minister. I don't know how you felt about the news coming through about what had happened in Tembisa.
Well, definitely, we were all shocked. I was equally shocked to hear in the morning that after over the weekend, we were given an assurance that the fire which had started emergency section, accident and emergency, had been contained. Now, this morning, in another the hospital was. So it was concerning, and that's why I then indicated I will be visiting the hospital.
Look, it's early days yet, and we obviously don't know what happened. But, you know, do you suspect any malicious intent?
One cannot rule out malicious intent. What will be the motive? It's still unclear because the two. I mean, whatever caused the first fire, you can't say. It's not as if there is a possibility that the fire extinguishers left some kind of, you know, late fire somewhere, then it sort of ignited again after two and a half days. There is no such a kind of a possibility in terms of the time lag, in terms of the distance. It's sort of within the same complex of outpatients with the emergency unit and then outpatients clinics. The fire started this morning. It's where they store some of the patient files, but there's a gap. I mean, so there are all sorts of logistics which shows that something else happened in this particular section. What is it? In a situation where, amongst others, the management of the hospital and the people dealing with, you know, the emergency also indicated that as part of prevention of any further fires, the power supply to the entire block had actually been switched off. So you can't even suspect anything like an electric, you know, spark of some sort. So something else happened. The question is, what really happened? And if indeed not malicious, you know, intent, what could be the motive? It's all very unclear.
Earlier on this month, the fire that was in the emergency entrance area disrupted about 81 patients. There had to be some contingency plans, as we were hearing yesterday, and they had not even completed that process yet. They had not even, it seems, started properly doing some investigations themselves, or at least even assessing the damage. That's a cause for concern, because with another fire, we may be facing more disruptions with the operations of the hospital.
Well, at least this one, in terms of extent and in terms of impact, it's far lesser. What was destroyed were some of the patient files. They were able to salvage quite a number, so there were some records which have been lost. Although the CEO assured us that they were quite advanced in capturing digitally the health records. So many of those they will be able to retrieve through their digital systems, but clearly there will be information which recent information, because they were capturing in terms of historical recent information, which may not be there. But in terms of infrastructure and equipment, this fire didn't really disrupt much, except the fact that there was some level of immediate disruption because the smoke then, you know, affected areas like the pharmacy section and some of the other medical clinics, which had to be totally evacuated. The pharmacy, they could still act. Later on, the Labor Department issued a certificate which said until further work is done, there must be very limited access to the pharmacy. So around, you know, the effect of that, so that they can access the essential medicines in the pharmacy. So there will be, that's likely to be very temporary, unlike the situation where everything is done. It's all equipped. Facilities for resuscitation, all those are totally.
Deputy Minister, there are reports that the security cameras were not working. And I just wanted to know from you whether you were able to verify that.
If I'm able to verify?
Whether the security cameras were working or not.
Well, they seem to be fairly limited in terms of the number of cameras. They're not up to the level where they will, you know, for instance, in the emergency section, I think, you know, even though one is not sort of very technically, you know, well trained in that area, the fact that the fire started right inside, unless if you had equipment which could maybe record in a remote area, they would be damaged. The CEO did say that the filing section, there's some external camera which might be able to shed some light. Even though it captures only some section of the area, the information which will be retrieved from there may not necessarily give a full, you know, a kind of a record of that. But clearly, the instruments in the area are not really up, and as I'm saying, inside, especially in the emergency section, because everything is destroyed. One is not sure, even if there were cameras inside, they wouldn't have. They would not be of much value.
I wonder if you can
in a remote area.
I wonder if you can help us move around a little bit, Deputy Minister. We're just struggling to hear you now. The line is deteriorating quite badly.
Maybe it might improve. How is it now?
All right, let's try. Let's try and see. The ones, you know, I ask you this question because earlier on, the health ombud made mention of the fact that he had once investigated Tembisa Hospital, and even as there were cameras there, there was this culture of them not being operational for obvious dubious reasons. Oh, that
well,
line.
We can see.
Deputy Minister, we have
Hello?
Almost lost you completely now, actually.
Can you hear me?
Yes, it's much better. Thank you.
Yeah. So if you could just repeat.
I was just saying, even the limited number of cameras, did we get information as whether they actually are working or are they operational at all, those that do exist?
Well, I was the impression that the few cameras which are there are operational, but where I would I heard what you were saying about the former ombuds, Professor Bakhova, about the management capacity in the hospital, which has not been really anything to can really be proud of from the time of, you know, the various, you know, scandals. I think he also investigated during the COVID, where there was a complaint about the patient passed away at the emergency at the hospital. But the fact of the matter is that the province has not been able to stabilize the management and administration, because even the current CEO who's there is in an acting capacity just recently. So there remain serious challenges in terms of management and leadership at the hospital.
Has law enforcement been brought in today?
The law enforcement is there. To get to what transpired in forensic, even as we're at the premises. The forensic, the subs forensic investigators are on the ground through the rubble and trying to get, you know, hopefully, finally give us some information in terms of what really could have been behind the fire.
All right. Appreciate you giving us your time this evening, Deputy Health Minister Joe Patla, who today went to visit Thembisa Hospital on the back of another fire. I mean, this is absolutely incredible. You and I were speaking about this just yesterday with the Portfolio Committee Chair, who had done a site visit yesterday. So we brought in today Gauteng Provincial Organizer for Public Servants Association, Marimeja Maotla. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pimelo, and good evening to the listeners.
What is your take on what happened at Thembisa Hospital earlier on today?
Our position remains that the fire, there is a high possibility that the cause of the fire is the fact that the hospital itself, the infrastructure has been left for a long time to deteriorate. We have warned the hospital about these issues. We even involved the Department of Labor and Employment to do an inspection. And this is not the first incident, actually. There's been other incidents at the hospital that has to do with infrastructure. Not so long ago, there is a an employee who got a ceiling falling on top of her head while at work. This kind of incident should have put the hospital management on high alert. We had a fire on Saturday. The Gauteng Department of Health, together with the management of the hospital, assured the public that the fire was contained and everything is under control. The only area that is affected is the casualty area. When we know for a fact that the Department of Labor and Employment has pointed a number of non-compliance in various sections, including the casualty, the theater, and many other areas in the hospital where they were told where to fix, but unfortunately that report was just shelved. Nothing has been done with relation to the recommendation from the Department of Labor and Employment. And today we almost had a disaster.
And so obviously your members must be quite, you know, uncomfortable working in an environment like this.
Members are not comfortable. Members have anxiety. The workers just don't know where to go. I mean, even us as officials of the unions, even when we go there, we are not comfortable because we don't know what else will happen. If you go around the hospital, you'll find the electric wires not properly secured, hanging. Other wards do not even have earth leakage. From time to time, you'll hear reports that there was fire sparkling from sparks from the electric wires somewhere. So there have been many warnings, but unfortunately, it appears that management and generally the leadership, they want to wait for a disaster to happen before they act.
What's the, you know, the position of the workers now going forward? I mean, we've now got another fire, and as you're saying, things are quite precarious for the workers, even when they've already been, reports that state the fact that this environment is not conducive. What then becomes, you know, your plight going forward?
Well, it is common cause that health services are essential services, and from where we are standing as a union, we wouldn't want to see any disruption of service delivery in that specific sector. So, you know, as much as that is the case, the safety of the employees must also be prioritized. So we are trying to engage with the management of the hospital to ensure that they do everything humanly possible to put the employees at ease, but also they need to inspire confidence. They need to put us into their confidence about, especially the reports about what transpired. We do not want a situation where the officials are caged with information to a point where the public will never know the truth about what happened. If they are found to be wanting, they must admit that they were in the wrong, and they must fix and improve the situation going forward so that the workers can work comfortably to the best of their ability and be productive to assist our people.
So you've been hearing how they've been responding to questions, and you know, I wonder whether you believe this particular management, and even though we know that the management is still acting at the moment, they are, you know, do you think they will be changed? Do you think they are going to be proactive? What's the feeling on the ground about the current management?
They have a chronic disease of negligence, gross negligence, and that we are going to say, because we have observed them over time, we have engaged with them over time over issues. They are failing totally to respond to matters that need urgent attention. They take their time. They only stand up when there is a disaster. But we will continue engaging with them, because this is the delegated officials that unfortunately we have to work with them, and we are going to continue working with them. We are going to observe the situation and make sure that we hold them accountable.
Well, appreciate that. And anytime you need us to talk to you, please, you're very welcome here, because I must say, it sounds like you're the one official that has given us some sort of an honest account of what is happening there. So we really appreciate it, and we look forward to engaging with you as well in the coming future.
Thank you very much.
Gauteng Provincial Organizer for the Public Servants Association, Madumecha Mautla. Thank you so much for that. It's 20 minutes after 8. I'm really, really keen to see how going forward we're going to be dealing with the story. Something doesn't smell right here. I am absolutely appreciative of the voices of the workers, because even when we had a conversation yesterday, all you're hearing is what management, the province, and the authorities are telling us, not a real sense of what actually is happening on the ground. And of course, workers are going to be afraid to speak directly to what is happening on the ground. And if you don't ask the patients, they're not going to tell you. We got the sense yesterday that everything is kind of, you know, going according to plan. Things were fine. I'm getting the sense now that we are starting to get a clearer picture of what's actually happening on the ground there. And I think we need to engage more with the workers on the ground about what actually is the real situation on the ground.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.